Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with State Senator Ivana Kinsella. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Ernie Adler and Fred Locken. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
After the abrupt elimination of solar net metering in 2015, more than 2,000 solar installers were forced to find jobs in other states. Now Assembly Bill 270 can help put Nevadans back to work. Tell your legislator to vote yes on AB 270 today. Visit yeson270.com. Paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shand.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome to the program for the first time State Senator Ivana Kinsella. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
And just to point out that for many years you worked with the Culinary Union and represented them before you came to the legislature. So even though you're a rookie, you're not really a rookie when it comes to the process.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thanks.
Let's talk about sanctuary cities. West Coast judge put the kibosh on the administration's plans to go after sanctuary cities' money. You had originally proposed the idea of a sanctuary state. Where does that stand now, and especially when Senator Robeson came out very strongly against the idea?
So that bill has died, along with many others. And the intent of the bill, I have a hard time with the word sanctuary because it doesn't have any legal meaning. It's a political term. It's not a policy term. And the intent of the bill was to make sure that taxpayer dollars were not used to do federal government work. And I think that's what we found the California judge ruled upon, was that cities and municipalities, county, states should be able to make their own decisions without fear of intimidation or threats by the federal government. And so while that proposal will not move forward this session, I'm hopeful that we can have discussions at the county and city level to make sure that our tax dollars are protected.
And it's interesting because it obviously is not going to the Supreme Court as an emergency request. So the likelihood is it would probably be a year, maybe even 2 years before you would even get there.
That's correct. And so I think that there's a lot more time to have a discussion about what exactly municipalities and states can do to make sure that their tax dollars are protected, as well as making sure that the federal government isn't telling them how to manage their law enforcement.
You know, the sanctuary state bill, it seemed to really die right after the AG, Jeff Sessions, came out and announced this punishment for sanctuary cities and, withdrawing federal funds. Was that the reason the bill died? And if not, what is the reason that bill died?
So I think that was part of it. It's very concerning to imagine losing. It would have been $9 million alone in Clark County. And when you take that with all of our different law enforcement agencies, we were nearing triple-digit loss of funds. And that's something I didn't take lightly. And that, coupled with the fact that it was clear that the political appetite was not there to discuss this bill as more than anti-immigrant or pro-immigrant, we weren't going to get into the weeds of the policy, made me decide to not move it forward.
Is there any chance that it could come back? Because to many progressives, it's a good bill. And, I've covered the legislature for years, and I see that bills that are dead can spring back to life.
Absolutely. I don't think that that bill will come back this session. I'm interested in making sure that the bills we do have that are immigrant protection measures make their way to the governor's desk. We have a number of bills that address how immigrant children interact with the courts. I have a bill that would allow for legal permanent residents to not have to wait 5 years to access Medicaid and CHIP benefits. So there are a number of pro-immigrant bills that are in the legislature. I'm hopeful that we can have a conversation about law enforcement and immigrant protection at the local level after session, and I'm going to do everything I can to be a part of those discussions.
Okay. What's still on the pro-immigrant menu that's still alive at the legislature, what is your number one or maybe your top two bills that you're trying to get through?
There's a couple. So Senator Dennis has a bill that's modeled off of actually a Republican proposal in Michigan. It creates the Office of New Americans, and it's for immigrants who are new to Nevada to be able to find the resources they need to enter back into the career path that they had in their home countries. For example, if you're a doctor from Libya, you don't necessarily come to the U.S. and access a doctor's job. You may end up driving a taxi cab. And the intent of the office is to make sure folks have the resources they need to be as successful as possible. I think that's really important.
Okay.
Especially because our immigrant population is growing so quickly in Nevada. And I would say, I guess I'm biased, but I'm going to work very hard on my bill that says that legal permanent residents, so kids who are legally in the country, are able to access Medicaid and CHIP benefits without waiting a five-year period. 31 other states have enacted that policy, and I think we should follow.
No, it's for, is it for dreamers or I didn't understand
No, so it's that. It's for immigrant children, so kids who have come to the country and now have either a green card, a visa, or in the process of acquiring citizenship. Today, they have to wait 5 years before they can access Medicaid and CHIP benefits.
Oh, okay.
And remember, if you're accessing Medicaid or CHIP benefits, it's because you're a low-income person. And so this just makes sure that those kids who are some of our neediest don't have to wait 5 years before they can see a doctor.
Okay. Are you surprised that the Trump administration is not messing with the DACA kids at this point?
Well, we actually had there was one DACA recipient that has been detained for deportation. And so whether or not the Trump administration is actually going to pursue deportations of DACA recipients, I think, is yet to remain unseen. I'm hopeful that the Trump administration will respect what's already in law. The question then becomes, what happens when DACA permissions start expiring, and what happens to these kids who now have had work status, have been able to contribute to our economy, and are now forced back into the shadows? And I think when we hit that moment, we'll have a really interesting discussion.
But were you pleased by the president's comments regarding the children?
Absolutely, and I think they reflect where the country is. The majority of people, Republican, Independent, Democrat, believe that Dreamers should be able to stay in this country. They were brought here by no fault of their own and are able to contribute, and they should be allowed to do so.
When you hear from your constituents within the Hispanic community and other immigrant communities, what kind of concerns are they raising with you about their status?
Folks are very scared. Uncertainty breeds fear. And what we see at the federal level is a lot of uncertainty because you have almost a year and a half of campaigning on anti-immigrant propaganda from the wall to mass deportations, all the way now to Jeff Sessions coming after sanctuary cities. All of that taken together leads people to start changing their behavior. So you have people spending less time outside of the home. You have folks asking a lot of questions about their legal status and what they can do. And what I found is that the bulk of phone calls are for everything from travel visas to how do I become a U.S. citizen. So I've done my best to direct people to the appropriate resources so that they can get the help they need.
All right, let's take a break. More with Senator Cancela when we come back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Ivana Cancela.
You know, Senator, when it was announced that the NFL owners are allowing the Raiders to move to Las Vegas last month, you tweeted, quote, Labor's Local 872 did more to get the Raiders to Vegas than anyone else. And I was kind of curious about that because taxpayers are putting out $750,000. So what is the labor union's contribution here?
So it's $750 million, not $1,000.
I'm sorry.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you. For
small difference.
Small difference. And I think, and I still have a really hard time swallowing that number. I think that is a lot of money that we're investing in something that may or may not end up being great for our economy. There's a lot of evidence that says that stadiums don't actually come back with the investment that don't have a good ROI, return on investment. So I still have a very hard time swallowing that. I think that what the laborers did and what a number of other unions did was really become the face for how this can be a project for more than just a football stadium. This can mean good jobs. It can mean long-term workforce development investment. And that's something to be proud of. They really did a tremendous job in making sure that folks knew just how much these jobs would mean to the community.
Wouldn't the labor's union also benefit with the construction of not only the stadium, but also ancillary things like roads and avenues heading in there?
Oh, absolutely. The labor's union and thousands of workers will benefit, whether they're union workers or not, because of all the ancillary jobs that are coming, all the way to the folks who will work the concession stands at the stadiums. We're talking about long-term job development, and I'm hopeful that it's coupled with workforce training that allows more people to enter construction work so that they can access those jobs.
Are those concession workers that would work at the Raiders Stadium, or is that a union group?
So there are cities across the country where the workers are members of a union. I'm not sure if there's an agreement for the workers at the new Raiders Stadium to be union members.
Do you see a movement to try to unionize those concession workers?
I have not been in discussions about that, but I suspect that there will be a union that wants to make sure that those jobs are good jobs.
Okay. Let me ask you about ESAs. Obviously, the governor wants the money to be there. A lot of Republicans want to. What is the appetite on the Democratic side, and what would you want to negotiate to grant that money to go forward?
So I can't speak for all of my colleagues, but I can tell you that in my district, the ESA usage has been minimal. And so for me, this is not a proposal that my constituents have taken advantage of or would benefit from. I do have some of the lowest performing schools in my district. So my concern is that money that gets funneled out of the public school system, or money that could be used towards public schools, gets used for private or other schooling. And to me, that's a very hard pill to swallow. I think there's a lot of merit in discussing different educational options, charter schools, magnet schools, private schools. All of them should be part of the discussion. It's just very hard to put dollars and cents to proposals when we already have such an underfunded and underperforming public education system in the state.
All right, but when you come to the negotiating table, what would you say if you're faced with, we don't move forward unless we have money for the ESAs, what would you say we want in return?
I don't know. I'm a lowly freshman on the totem pole, so I don't suspect I would be in many of those negotiations. But I think that there's a lot of proposals out there that both sides are very interested in. There's ESAs, there's minimum wage, there's paid sick leave. There are a number of big energy policies, and my suspicion is that a lot of those will be a part of those negotiations.
I have to ask you this question. Are we coming to the beginning of the end of the war between the Culinary Union and Station Casinos?
Oh, gosh. Well, so I'm not at the Culinary anymore, so I have...
But you're certainly well aware of
yeah. so
the longstanding
I know,
war.
Yeah, no question. Station Casinos is the largest violator of labor law in the history of Nevada gaming. And
But there are now negotiations on two
that's
properties.
Right. That's right.
So the question is, you know... Can there be peace?
I'm hopeful. I think that if the employers come to the table with intentions of negotiating in good faith, and if those negotiations are able to happen to actually move a contract forward, then we could end up seeing the first Station Casinos union contract, which I think will benefit not only the workers at either Boulder or Palace Station, hopefully both, but across the valley, as more and more folks see that union benefits aren't just for strip workers, they really belong to all casino workers.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
You
we
all.
Appreciate it. Please come back before the end of session.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel, as always, with Ernie Adler, the former state senator, and Fred Locken, professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. So it looks as though the president and the White House want to reverse the executive orders regarding public lands, and the Democrats came back very strongly. Where do you think this is going to go, Ernie?
Well, I think it's outrageous. I mean, he has kind of a war going on against the environment in terms of air, water, and now public lands. And one of the reasons I live in Nevada is I love to go out on the public lands and go camping and fishing and things of that nature. And for him to attack public lands, I think, is just outrageous.
It's the dilemma of protection versus greed, and it has been the ideology between the two parties. I think as we deal with a confusion about what is a Republican and a Democrat, this is one of the areas where we're not confused about. And one seems to want to protect, and one seems to want to take every ounce they can out of it. So.
You mean drilling for oil, for example?
For anything, exactly. And in every, you know, certainly the Obama administration near the end, especially in Nevada, you know, did some things that were designed to protect against mineral extraction, and they had 13 presidents have had this ability to do it, and it has, going back to Teddy Roosevelt, it is a tradition of presidents as stewards of a nation, and I'm hoping that they leave it in place.
Do you think that recently, before President Obama left office, he designated two areas in Nevada as a national monuments. Is there any way, maybe Ernie, if you would start, is there any way that Trump could undo that just by another executive order?
Well, yeah, that's being debated as to whether it's legal, for instance, to modify the designations that Obama had on Gold Butte, reduce it in size, do other things, whether that would hold up or whether he can revoke it altogether. I think that's kind of an open legal question.
But, you know, it's kind of interesting. Senator Goicoechea was on the program last week and was talking about the fact that these public land set-asides effectively cut off the rail line that could go from Caliente over to Yucca Mountain that would knock on the head any economic development of a major kind with railroad that would benefit Mineral County, Nye County. You know, there were other things that were going on apart from let's just protect this land.
This is true, although I think that Yucca Mountain is seen as an issue of probably the greatest protection of land and life in the state of Nevada for those who are opposed to it.
Ernie, what do you think about this reemergence of Yucca Mountain as a political volleyball? Because now there's bills to move the nuclear waste to the repository.
Well, when I was an assemblyman in 87, I had a resolution opposed to Yucca Mountain, and I really have not changed my position since then. But, you know, essentially they're cramming it down our throats. Originally, they had alternative sites, which were better sites than Yucca Mountain, but they rejected those for political reasons because they thought they could roll the state of Nevada on this issue. So I really resent the fact that 80% of this nuke waste is coming from east of the Mississippi River, and then they're bringing it all out in the west and making it our problem when we don't generate any of it.
You know, it seems our problem as far as Yucca Mountain is the retirement of Harry Reid, because he kept this at bay.
We've lost an incredible amount of experience in Washington. He was our firewall, and with his decision to retire, it has made us vulnerable. And it's not only from the East Coast. We also, Hanford, it would be all of the radioactive materials from there, plus the radioactive materials from Taiwan, Japan, and South Korea that would be brought into port and then brought by rail, which is why now there's a sudden interest in Interstate 11, because they could use trucking and also then run a new rail line that would really be designed to bring as much of this waste down as possible. There's a dramatic change and challenge to Nevada.
Ernie, what is the economic benefit that a lot of conservatives talk about, not that you're a conservative, but a lot of conservatives talk about bringing the waste to Nevada? I don't really understand all
well,
that.
Well, they believe that they'll get payments from the federal government for storing the waste here, and that there'll be jobs involved in building the actual site. And then there'll be jobs to monitor the site and so forth. But we know that the federal government, when the New Mexico took the high-level military waste, that they stiffed them on the payments right away. So you really can't trust the federal government to follow through with the payments on Yucca Mountain, I think.
Well, especially when the members of Congress changed, the people who made the original deal with New Mexico, they either retired or lost re-election. And isn't that the reason why that went south?
Probably, I would say. It's probably an
accurate
statement.
And we've needed a solution since 1984, so I understand the federal government's problem. However, they were looking at the salt domes of Louisiana, which are not earthquake-prone, unlike Yucca Mountain area, and I wish they would kind of rethink what they're trying to do here environmentally.
I just want to throw in a different topic here, as we've got about a minute left here. A story out of the Las Vegas Review-Journal yesterday that the UNLV med school faces setbacks amid rift. And it's because the Board of Regents is wondering why Dean Barbara Atkinson is looking for one person to come up with $100 million as a donation to get the school going, as against going out to – does that not sound crazy for a school that's supposed to open July 1?
Yes, very much so, and sort of embarrassing because, you know, this is a chance for the South to get a major professional school. You would think they'd have this orchestrated a lot better.
Ernie, have you ever heard such a thing?
Yeah, you would think they would have it all their ducks in a row by now. I mean, this is kind of last minute and kind of ridiculous, I think.
Well, they say they've got a couple of hot prospects, but they better catch on fire pretty quick. That's where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
After the abrupt elimination of solar net metering in 2015, more than 2,000 solar installers were forced to find jobs in other states. Now Assembly Bill 270 can help put Nevadans back to work. Tell your legislator to vote yes on AB 270 today. Visit yeson270.com. Paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
On our next broadcast, newly minted Congresswoman Jackie Rosen. We'll see you then.